Welcome to Destiny Harvest Church's weekly podcast. We're a church located in Columbia, Maryland, right between DC and Baltimore. We're so glad that you decided to listen to our podcast. If you're looking for a message of hope, purpose, and destiny, then you've tuned into the right place. If you have any testimonies of what God has done in your life as a result of listening to this podcast, please email us at stories@mydestinyharvest.com. We love to hear how God is impacting people's lives through what He's doing at our church. Now, prepare your heart and mind to hear from God as we jump into this week's message.
Proverbs 29:18. You guys ready? Let's read it together. And this verse, let me just set you up. Man, I don't have to preach this verse. We could just read it, like, and leave. Because there's all the preaching that you need just right in this. It's just this. If people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. Well, man, just say it like it is. I think I will. But when they attend to what He reveals, they are most blessed. That word blessed doesn't mean to have a lot of possessions. It means to have a lot of joy. There's contentment. There's fulfillment there. It says those who know what God's doing and they focus on the things of God, they are the ones that are the most content. They have the most joy and they are the most fulfilled. Father God, we're grateful, God, just for this time. God, You have no rival. God, You have no equal. We're honored in this moment to be in Your presence. God, we pray even now, give us eyes to see and ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. And God, thank You for Pastor Trent for pulling out of him today. It blessed our heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Before you sit down, high five two people. Tell somebody they do sing hymns around here. I heard one today. Hallelujah. Well, about twice a year, we take a pause on our normal Sunday routine just to talk a little bit about vision, who we are as a church, where we've come from, and where God has called us to be. Vision for your life is one of the most important things that you can have. The Bible says that who see what God is doing in their lives, people who don't have a godly vision for their lives, it's like they're stepping on their own feet. It's you're stumbling, you're making it up as you go along, and you're trying to kind of figure out how it's going to work. And God never designed you to stumble through life. He said, I've given you life and life more abundantly. It's very clear what He's given us. I find, though, that for so many people, you may have a picture of what you want your life to look like 5 years from now or 10 years from now. I know, man, when I get here, this is what it's going to look like, and I'm going to be there, and I'm going to be there, and this is going to happen, and all this other kind of happen. It's just kind of like immediate vision that we struggle with. Maybe you're finishing up school, you're a junior, a senior, you're almost done, and you're like, man, 5 years from now I'll be here, and 10 years from now I'll be here, but right now I just got to figure out which major to leave this place with. I started here, then I went there, and I'm just trying to kind of just in that, I'm not quite sure what the next step is. Maybe you've started your career, and you're trying to figure out, man, 5 years from now I want to be here, but right now I feel like I'm just punching a time clock, just kind of just figuring it out. Maybe as a parent, you have this vision of what you want your children to look like, how you want them to respond and grow and lead and all that other kind of stuff. I know, you know, me and Pastor Zaire are like that with Zoflo right now. We're just like, okay, what do you do? She can't talk. Can we whoop her yet? Can we not? Like, we're just trying to figure this out kind of in this season. And I dare say, a vision that's 5-10 years down the road, but doesn't have action steps for today and tomorrow, is no vision at all. It's actually just a fantasy. God doesn't want to show you a picture of way down when everything's worked out and it's all together. God wants you to have a vision for your tomorrow. And the day after that, God, this season, right now that I'm in, what's your purpose? What's your plan? What have you called me to? I had this kind of not so fun time a few years ago. I don't know if you're as forgetful as I am sometimes, but I was rushing and I was late for a meeting. I'm not often late for meetings. I'm rarely late for meetings, but when I am late for meetings, I'm like really late for meetings, and I get frustrated because I hate being late. I hate when people show up late, and I'm like running around the house frantic, and Pastor Zai's not coming with me, so she's sitting on the couch kind of smiling, like watching me run around, and I'm just like, I got this, where's this, and all that kind of stuff, and I finally have my stuff, so I run down the stairs and out the door, and every day that I come home, I take my car keys and I put them on a little desk that we have at the front door because I'm Steven, so it's either on the desk or I'll never find it. If I don't put it in the same place every time, I am completely lost. So I run down the stairs and I swipe my keys and I swipe air. There's nothing there, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, I'm already late. Where's my key? And I'm running through the house and I'm searching and I'm like, where's my key? And she's looking at me like, I don't know, where's your key? And she kind of has like this smirk and she's laughing and like, what is wrong with you? Where's my key? Did the dog eat my key? I actually sold the dog because I thought the dog had eaten my key, so we got rid of the dog for other reasons. But we had a dog at that time. I'm like, did the dog eat my key? And the dog's looking at me like, I'm not your problem. You are your problem. I'm running upstairs, I'm checking through pants pockets. I cannot find my key anywhere. And then my wife looks at me and she says this phrase that I don't know if she heard from God or read her Bible that day, but she just says this phrase, and it's a similar phrase to what God said. What's in your hand? I looked down the entire time. I had my key in my hand. I am running through the house searching, ripping things apart. You guys are looking at me like, dude, this guy is not that bright. We're letting him lead the church. We are in trouble. I'm literally searching through the house trying to find my keys, and they are in my hand. Reminds me of this passage in the Bible. There's a guy by the name of Moses. You ever heard of Moses? Moses was a man that God called to lead Israel, which was in captivity in that time, in the most powerful nation of Egypt. He said, I'm sending you to Egypt to tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Moses said, God, you must have the wrong person. There's no way I can accomplish the vision that you have for my life because I have a stuttering problem. I'm not eloquent. I can't convince people with my words. And then I have this. They're not going to know who sent me. God, how am I going to convince Pharaoh that you're the one that has sent me? How do I know that this vision for my life is going to come to pass? And God responded to Moses. He said, what's in your hand? God is literally saying the next step for his vision for your life is not 5 years down the road. It's not 10 years down the road. It's in your hand. The Bible says this in Matthew chapter 16, verse 19. It says this, I will give you the keys. Somebody say keys. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in. We've never read a verse before. This is great. Y'all enjoying this? Read this together. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on will be loosed in. God says, here's the thing. When you surrender your life to me, when you become a follower of God, when you become a believer in God, in that moment, you receive kingdom keys. You have the authority based on God to lock any door and to open any door by the power of God. The key, no pun intended, is figuring out what is it in my hand that God's given me to unlock this next season, this next step that he has for me. Somebody say amen. Before I unpack that, though, I want to take a pause and just make the really big announcement that we've all been waiting for. Somebody say, uh-oh. As you remember, back in January, we had a Vision Sunday, and one of the things that we addressed was just, hey, what are the next few seasons of the church going to look like? If this is your first time at Destiny Harvest or you're new to our community, one thing that you need to know is that we are extremely focused on being good stewards of the resources that God has trusted us with. I truly believe that how we manage money at this church is not just an integrity issue, but that God actually determines how many people he will trust us with based on how we manage the resources that he's given us. The Bible says if you can't be trusted with worldly goods, who's going to trust you with true wealth? True wealth to God are people's souls. God values people more than anything else. And I believe the way that we steward determines how many people God can trust us with. One of the things that we've done from day one, it's actually written into the bylaws of our church, is that we are not allowed to operate on 100% of what we receive. We have set our budget at 90% of our income every single year. Well, because of your generosity and just honestly, you're just outrageous giving this year, not only have we operated on less than 90%, but we have operated on less than 70% of the resources that have come in this year. That's a good place to give God glory and to celebrate. Our board of elders and our trustees and the leaders in this church have just done a phenomenal job of just stewarding all that God gave us. We had that Vision Sunday at the beginning of the year, and we had our Passion Initiative offering right after that. And here's a good place for you to scream. In that Passion Initiative offering to date, you have given over $125,000. Is that not amazing? Is that not all the way cool? So between that $125,000 and the excess, we were able to save approximately about $200,000 year to date. Just to give you some just ideas of how that money has been used. First and foremost, that money is used to be a blessing to you, to create services and environments for you to grow in your faith. To date, over 650 people have made a decision to follow Christ in 2017 in a Destiny Harvest service. That's why we exist as a church. We've always said we don't just want to receive, but we want to be known more for what we give than what we receive. So to date, we've already given away over $90,000 to local missions on serve days, helping building homes and meeting the needs of those in community, and our national giving through ARC, our international giving through Surge, planting churches all across the nation. We've been involved in abolishing sex trafficking. You went to Houston to help with the hurricane, not physically, but because of your generosity, because of your giving. Here's what generosity does. It allows you to go places that you'll never go physically. You may have never been to Nigeria, even though half of the room probably has. But if you've given anything to Destiny Harvest, you've been to Nigeria because you planted a church through your generosity in Nigeria, in Sierra Leone, in Nepal, in Mexico, in China. Literally because of your generosity. One of the organizations that we partner with is ARC, and they plant churches across this nation. We've been giving for years, and this year part of that $90,000 went to them. Well, here's a little bit ROI, return on investment for you finance folks. Like, hey, what did we get for that generosity? Well, because of that giving and partnership with all the other ARC churches, 118 brand new churches were launched this year to date. Is that not awesome? Out of those 118 churches, 1,500 people gave their life to Christ on the first service those churches held, and over 20,000 people are attending those churches across this nation because of your generosity. Before the golf clap, can you celebrate what God has enabled you to do as a church? So because of your giving, because of your generosity, because of the stewardship of our elders and our leaders, I'm excited to let you guys know. Actually, I'm not going to let you know anything. Just play the video. Let the video tell them. Hey, Destiny Church. I am horrible at secrets, and I've been holding one in. But today, finally, I can announce, man, because of your generosity, because of your heart to see God's house move forward and lives transform, because of the awesome trustees and their stewardship, I'm excited to introduce you to the new home of Destiny Church. I have the key in my hand. It's official. Welcome home. Love.
located at 7195 Oakland Mills Road, just 10 minutes away from where we're currently located, is our brand new 19,000 square foot permanent location. This building has been used by another church for the last number of years that have done a good amount of renovations. It currently can seat 500 people in one service, and after our renovations, it'll be able to seat over 700 people, which is the exact same size as our Athelton Auditorium right now. Upon arriving at this location, there are over 400 parking spaces, which will ensure that we'll be able to grow and still park and accommodate every single person that attends on a weekend. As you enter the building, you'll step into our brand new lobby. This space is going to be an awesome opportunity for you to connect with new friends and old, to host connect groups, to sign up for next steps, check your children in, and really just to enjoy the community and life of Destiny Church. In our new Destiny Kids area, there are 7 classrooms designed for safety, to facilitate fun, and to help our kids encounter God on their level. There's actually more space at our new location that we currently have. It'll be an awesome opportunity for kids to invite their friends and to encounter God on their level. Finally, there's office space for our staff to continue to move the ball down the field. No longer worshiping in one location and working during the week in another. No, it's all happening under the same roof. And most importantly, this is where Dream Team Central is going to be. There's going to be a lounge area and televisions and just room to honor the Dream Team and a thank you for all that you do to make Destiny Church possible. This building is nothing short of a miracle from God. Now we know a building is not the church. It's people that are the church. But this is gonna allow us to take care of and reach so many more people with the love of God. This is a place where we are gonna help people know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference. I could not be more excited. Back to you, Stephen.
Well,
come on now.
So not only is there a building, but I actually have the key in my hand. This is not hypothetical. We have a brand new location. Is that not crazy? Sit down. You're taking my preacher time. We actually want you guys to just know how much of a part of making this happen you've been because of your generosity. So we didn't just get a key for me, but we got a key for every single person in the building. So there is your key. Just take one and pass it down. Now, your key doesn't open the door, so don't try. He's just going to get keys to everybody. We all got keys. But what we want is we want you to have something in your hand. I'm going to stick mine in my Bible, maybe stick it somewhere where you'll see it often. But you need to understand, you're not waiting on anything for the future that God has for you. The key is in your hand. Come on now. So a couple of details that you guys are going to be wondering about. The first is, where is it? Well, it's actually right off of 175. It's only about 8 minutes from here, so it's going to be right in this Columbia area. If you're familiar with where the Wegmans is, where the Home Depot, my wife is here, so I don't want to say this, but where the Home Goods is on 175, it's the next light right after that. You'll make a left there on Oakland Mills Road, 7195 Oakland Mills Road. When are we going to move in is probably the next question that you're asking. And we're actually leasing it back to the church that we received it from as they're working on their next building. And they should be complete by the end of December, roughly. So we should have access to the building on January 1st. As you can see, our team's already at work, and they've been working on the renderings and all that. And depending on the resources that come in and all that kind of stuff, it's going to be anywhere from a 4 to 8 week renovation process. So we should be in the building sometime in between, maybe early February all the way up to early March, but certainly before Easter, so early spring. We will not be. Now, you're not screaming right now because you didn't show up this morning for 5 a.m. setup. But the Dream Team understands, man, how much of a blessing it is. Can I just tell you, and I know I'm going to preach, can I tell you the just crazy God story that this was? So if you remember back in January, I said, hey guys, you know, I know you're wondering where's a permanent building and all that. And just to let you know where we are, we're probably about 2 years away from a permanent building. I told you earlier this year, we'd probably need to raise about $1 million. And that's just to get in to a location that's kind of this size. And we don't want to move into something that's smaller than this because it makes no sense to have you guys sitting on top of each other and all that other kind of stuff. So I said, it's about $1 million. And no pressure. Our Passion Initiative offering was coming up and said, hey, we never pressure people to give at Destiny Harvest. Give. And here's what happens. I, as the pastor, God gives me the vision for the church. But you as the church determines how fast that vision takes place. Literally through your jumping on a dream team and serving and through your generosity, you being a part of something that's bigger than you, you determine how fast this vision takes place. So between the savings, between your giving and that offering, we were able to save about $200,000. Any math folks in the building? So we need $1 million. We needed to save 200. We had 200,000, which is a phenomenal offering and a phenomenal, just an act of generosity. We're just $800,000 short. No big deal. We expected that. It takes us 2 years to save $1 million. So we were right on track. Well, 2 weeks after Passion Initiative offering, this church contacts Destiny Harvest and said, hey, we have a 19,000 square foot building that can seat up to 750 people. We've invested, math folks, are you guys ready? About $800,000 into this building, and we're just trying to get out of it. Would you be willing? Would you be so kind? Would you mind taking this building off of our hands? So what should have taken us 2 years to raise, God did it in 2 weeks, supernaturally. Don't tell me there aren't miracles. Don't tell me that God is not involved. He said he will build his house, and he is building his house. I always say there's overnight miracles that are 9 months in the making. So February is when that email came, and then all summer long, attorneys were fighting and arguing and all that other good stuff. Our elders were amazing. They probably read more contracts than they would ever want to read in a lifetime. But we just finalized the agreements. Documents are signed. Money is exchanged hands. I have the key in our hands. We have a brand new home for Destiny Harvest. Now, while we have acquired it, there are some renovations that we're going to have to do up to about $293,000, which is flooring, paint, knocking out walls to extend the seating from 500 to 750 and all that other kind of stuff. And we're going to do that as the resources come in. If we're able to do all of it before we go in, that'll be great. But we're going to try to get in there as quickly as possible and then just continue it as God provides and as God moves on your heart. Amen. I want to give you just two other quick things that we're working on in terms of, hey, what is Destiny Harvest focused on? How's God moving? What are some things that we're looking at for 2018? And then I'm going to preach to 4 points that you have in your notes in like 5 minutes. It's, oh, ye of little faith. You don't think I could do a 5-minute message? Check me. I will get you out of this place on time. Challenge. I was in Birmingham, Alabama this week at a church called Church of the Highlands. They're actually the first church that started with the ARC organization. They're now the second largest church in all of the United States of America with over 50,000 people that attend on a weekend in 17 different locations. I had the honor of spending time with their senior pastor, and he's financially invested in Destiny Harvest. He's invested his wisdom and his leadership, and he truly just loves this house. They gave me the opportunity to actually speak at their Bible college that afternoon, and then I actually preached for their college service that night. I'm not going to lie to y'all. I was nervous as I don't know what, but your boy held it down. It was all the way good. It was all the way fun. But this church has one of the premier Bible colleges in the entire nation called Highlands College. It's literally like the West Point of Christian schools. People are there 24 hours. It's not just educational learning, but it's on-hand training and ministry. And they've produced some of the greatest pastors, some of the fastest growing churches in the nation, and people in all types of area of ministry school. Well, as of this week, DLA, which is our ministry school, Destiny Leadership Academy, has partnered with Highlands College to be able to provide that education here in the Maryland area, and then also for them to come here. So what we're going to be doing is open the door that if you're here and you say, man, I just have a heart for ministry. I just feel like God's called me to really pursue this calling, but I don't know where to go with this. Well, you can move to Birmingham for 2 years and actually be a part of that college, or you can stay right here and receive that same training, the same information through the partnership with Highlands College and DLA. It's actually going to be a residency program, so you'll actually in turn be able to move into a house that's covered with stipend and all that other kind of stuff. And then they are going to be sending Highlands College graduates up to Destiny Harvest for a year to serve, to learn in ministry, and to help us build and continue to do what God is doing here at Destiny Harvest. Is that all the way cool? So we're having, through this partnership, even our own ministry school. The second thing is, if you remember about a year ago, we started talking about a television program. What you may not know is currently there's about 2.1 million people between DC and Maryland suburbs, not even in the cities, but just between the 95 stretch from College Park up right into the city, 2.1 million people who do not go to church on Sunday and do not know the hope of Jesus Christ. We have been committed as a church that we will never just focus on the four walls within this building, but we have called to reach people that have not heard the hope that is found in Jesus Christ. Well, through a partnership with ABC, they have a 30-minute slot that will give us access to 405,000 people on a weekly basis. Is that all cool? Now, we haven't been able to maximize on that partnership because, honestly, being in a portable environment, there's no way that we can get the cameras and the lighting and all that other kind of stuff that we would need to produce an excellent product, and we're not going to put some ragtag product out there, so until we can do it excellently, we're just not going to do it. Well, now that we have a permanent location and it's no more set up and tear down, we will have the atmosphere where we can add those cameras and those lighting and all that different kind of stuff so that we can continue to move the ball down the field to be a place that brings hope and healing to a world that is desperately in need of Jesus Christ. Amen? Is that not all the way exciting? So what can I do? How can I get involved? Well, there's two things that you can do. The first thing you can do is you can jump on a dream team. If you're not on a dream team, you need to get on one. Matter of fact, today is step four of the Growth Track. Guess what step four is about? Join the team. Here's why. Because you can never move forward in what God's called us to do without resources. The Bible says that the harvest is ripe. The issue is not that people don't want God. He said the issue is that laborers are few. So pray to God, send people that say, man, church is not just about me. It's not just about me and my children and my family being blessed, but church is about me partnering with other people, getting involved in something that is bigger than myself so that we can make an impact that is lasting. The second thing that you can do is you can give financially. We have an annual offering, our Passion Initiative, and this year we're moving it up 4 weeks earlier. If you want to know why, you already know why, to the end of December. So that's coming up on December 10th, about 7 weeks away. And if you've recently started coming to Destiny Harvest and you just kind of don't know how offerings work, let me just help you out, and you'll hear about this a lot more over the next few weeks. We're committed that we will never pressure people to give. It is God, as you can see, that provides for his house and build his house. But here's what we won't do. We won't ever apologize for having you ask God and have him lead and direct you how you would respond and give over and above your tithes and offerings. So over these next 7 weeks, what we're asking is that you would pray, ask God, what would you have me do? How would you have me give towards God what you're doing in this church? And then on December 10th, we're all going to come and we're simply going to obey how God has led us in our heart. And I'm telling you, we are going to see his kingdom accelerated and advanced like never before. Amen. One more time, can you just celebrate God and all that he's doing? Now, to the five-minute message, y'all ready? Buckle up. We've never made it a secret, and if you haven't come before, you may have never heard this, but you need to hear this, that God has a vision for your life. He did not put you on this planet, on this earth, for you to just make it up as you go along. You know how we say, I need to make something of myself? There's no need for you to make something of yourself, because before you were ever born, God knew you and he formed you and he had a plan and a purpose for your life. The verse that literally catapulted me into ministry was Jeremiah 29:11, where God says, I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. That's the part that caught my attention. I always knew God had plans for my life, but I always assumed that God's plan for my life was Timbuktu. That he wanted me to be a missionary in some country without Chick-fil-A, and that I'd be miserable and just, you know, do something. Come on. I'm not going to ask a show of hands, but maybe just a smirk or a nod. You ever thought that God might mess up your life? Come on now, tell the truth. You ever thought, like, if I trust him and give him the plan, then I'm not going to have any funds. I'm going to be some monk or some nun or whatever it may be. No, no. God says, not only do I have plans for you, but they're plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. And here's God's plan for your life. God's plan is that you would know God, is the way that we say it. Now, there's people who think they know God. I was one of those for so many years of my life because I grew up in church. I was in church so much, I always say I was in church more than God was in church. Because I went to some services and God was not there. I'm just like, man, you just left me by myself. But you can go to church and intellectually know God. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You already know the benediction that the pastor's going to bring before he even says it. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face of favor shine upon you. You're just sitting there like, yep, to the parking lot. Boom. But that's not the know God that God's talking about. He's saying, I don't want you to know me. I want you to know me. Not an intellectual knowledge, but an intimate relationship where there is a communication, there is a growing relationship, there's a passion for God. The vision that God has for your life begins with knowing God. And scripture says, before you know God, life hasn't even begun. There's people that are breathing oxygen and ticking off birthdays, and your life has not even begun. Because God says, there's no way for you to know why you were created without first knowing your creator. He said, my goal is that you would know God and then that you would find freedom. You know, it's possible to know God and still be anchored to your mistakes of yesterday. And this is what we do. We try to flip it. We said, well, I'll get to know God after I fix myself up. After I fix the issues of my life, then I'll come to God. You've got it backwards. You know God first, and then he fixes the issues. You can't fix the issues on your own. He says, I'll bring you to freedom. Then I want you to discover your purpose. You're not a mistake. You were made on purpose for a purpose. And finally, he said, my goal is that you would make a difference, that you would have an impact that far outlasts your life here on earth. Listen to me. The greatest joy you will ever encounter in life is not what you make happen for yourself, but the impact that you have on somebody else's life. Now, here's what's so important to know. You have a plan, or God has a plan for your life, but Satan has a plan for your life also. He will always give you a counterfeit that looks very similar to God's life, but instead of bringing joy, it will steal from you. I say it this way. God's plan for your life is that you would know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference. The enemy wants to tell you that, no, the real plan that you should pursue is know me. Focused on self, focused on being known and people finding out who you are. I'm not very good at social media, but I do kind of like it and work through it and all that. There's nothing wrong with social media, but there are some negative components to it. It can get us into the position where everything we do is focused on how it appears to other people and how am I perceived and how do people view me, when the reality is you are not the center of the universe. I'm not offensive. I am not the center of the universe. The world does not revolve around me. God has a purpose and a plan and a destiny that's so much bigger than me. And that's what I need to focus on. The enemy said, no, be focused about what you can get. Know me, and then find fame. Not freedom, find fame. And when you find fame, then discover your platform. What can I use to just get me up to the next level? Am I intellectual? Am I charismatic? Am I a great communicator? Am I this? Am I that? What can I figure out to just get me there? And when I find my platform, make a dime. God's plan, know God, find freedom, discover purpose, make a difference. The enemy's plan, know me, find fame, discover my platform, and make a dime. He won't even give you a dollar. He'll just give you a dime because the enemy will make sure that he steals instead of gives to you. I truly hope that you see me as your pastor. And I want you to know that I pray for you regularly. And this actually is the verse that I pray over you. It's Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. It says this: I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Watch this. So that you may know him. That's my prayer for you. I don't care if you know Stephen. Stephen's nobody. What I want you to know is I want you to know Jesus. If you're in here and you say, man, I know church, but I can't say that I know Jesus. Man, my prayer, and we'll talk about it at the end, how do I come to Jesus? Many of you, though, you know Jesus. You've given your life to Christ. You're growing your faith. Well, Paul said this. Here's my prayer for you, that you would know him better. There is no limit to who God is. He is omniscient, he is omnipresent, and he is unending. No matter how long you've been walking with God, there's more of his joy, there's more of his peace, there's more of his purpose that he desires for you to know. It goes on in verse 18, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. That's finding freedom. You don't have to be too bright to figure out that your eyes are not in your heart. Your eyes are on your face. But Paul is saying that your physical eyes may be on your face, but your spiritual eyes are on your heart. You don't see life the way it is. You see life the way you are. You see life through your experiences, through your failures, through your setbacks. And what Paul is saying is, if you don't find freedom from your yesterday, you will always see life tainted and not the way that God has. Yeah. I'm doing this noise because I always do this when I'm on the edge of getting in trouble and I don't want to get in trouble, but should I just go there? You ever talk to somebody that's just had a bitter life? Maybe relationships didn't work out, or finances didn't work out, or starting a business didn't work out, or something didn't work out. And when you talk to them about your dream, they explain to you how yours is going to end up just like theirs. That's not going to work out. You can't trust him. That's not going to last. This is going to happen, or whatever it may be. And all you see is hope, and all they see is despair. You're looking at the same thing, but you're looking through two different hearts. And what Paul is saying is, my prayer is that your heart would be healed, so you would see God's best, not see the enemy's worst. So I pray that your eyes or your heart may be enlightened. If you could go back to that. Boom. That you may know the hope to which he's called you to. We think that we'd be hopeless if we didn't have anything. What you have doesn't determine your hope. It's whether or not you're aware that God has called you and what he's called you to. I'm not hopeless. This is Stephen. I've been hopeless before, and I'm not hopeless when I don't have. I'm hopeless when I don't know how to get to the next step. But when you know that you're called by God, you've discovered your purpose, there's hope in that. And then it ends in this. Last one, go back for me. I've never spent more time on this verse. They're like, dude, what are you doing? He says, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. God says that's what wealth is. Wealth is not a numeric number in a bank account. No, wealth is knowing why you were made and the difference that he has called you to make. Here's the truth. There is no joy that money can bring you, that titles can bring you, that accomplishments can bring you, that supersedes the joy that is found in knowing why God made you. The goal is God's vision for your life, and you can write this down, is that you would make a difference. But you can't make a difference. By the way, let me warn you. This is all 4 points of the message in 30 seconds. You ready? You can't make a difference until you discover your purpose. And you can't discover your purpose until you find freedom. The reality is, everybody has issues. Some of y'all got so many issues, you have tennis shoes. I've been working on that one. That's pretty corny, right? But here's what we've been trained to do. We've been trained to put on a mask and to pretend like nothing's wrong when we know we have addictions, we have struggles. It's not things that God's not pleased with, it's things that we're not pleased with. I don't want to be that person. And we don't know quite how to get rid of it. Well, here's what the Bible says in James chapter 5, verse 16. Here's how you get over your issues. Therefore, confess your sins to God. Is that what it says? It says to each other and pray for each other that you may be healed. This is going to sound sacrilegious. I hate this verse because I would like to just go to God and say, God, I messed up. Please forgive me. God says, you're forgiven. Go on your way. But God says the second you confess your sins to me, you are forgiven instantly. But you can't be healed from that moment unless somebody else on earth knows. Now, I'm not saying everybody on the planet needs to know your deepest, darkest secrets. Matter of fact, I would advise that you do not tell everybody on the planet your deepest, darkest secrets. But there needs to be another believer that you trust enough to take the mask off and to say, this is who I really am. You're there, so let's just have a real conversation. If nobody knows, the enemy will beat you up with that nightmare, with that thought, with that mental attack, until you, as we call it, get it off your chest and say, man, like it or lump it, this is who I am. Here's a kind of crazy phrase to remember. I will always be as sick as my secrets. My level of emotional health is going to be determined, am I living this isolated life? Or am I living a life where I'm actually not covered up, but I'm trusting other people that God sent in my life enough that I can move forward and not allow the enemy to keep me tethered to my yesterday? The way that we do that here at Destiny Harvest is through connect groups. We have marriage groups, financial groups, we have dating groups, we have single groups, we have workout groups. I don't go to that group. We have all these different type of groups. And I'm going to be honest with you, and this is going to sound bad. I don't care what group you go to. I just need you in a group so you can get around other people. And when you get in that group, please take the mask off. Don't be fake and phony. You go in there, hey, how's everybody doing? Man, I'm good. Week was good. Great work was good. You are lying through your face. You cussed the whole way to group. You cussed at every red light. You cussed at the green lights. You cussed the whole way. And then you walk into a highly favored and blessed, and you're lying. I want you to get to the place where you just take the mask off and you cuss in group, not just, okay, no. I don't want you cussing in group. I just want you to say, hey. I just want you to be like, this is me. The good, the bad, the ugly. I am a work in progress. I'm trusting God, but he's transforming my life. And as you do that, you will find freedom. But you can't find freedom if you don't know God. All those things, make a difference, discover purpose, find freedom. It's empowered by you knowing God. You cannot do that without God. Last verse, Mark 8:34 says this. Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, whoever wants to be my disciples must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. Man, he just jumped right. You want to be a Christian? Get a cross. Okay. He said, for whoever wants to save their life. What does that mean? Whoever thinks that God's going to mess it up so they hold their life to themselves. Man, I'm just trying to just live out my college days, man. I'm in college. I'm just trying to enjoy. I'm just trying to save it. Man, I'm just trying to live out my single days. Man, I'm trying to live out my young days. Man, I'm trying to live out my married days. I'm just trying. God says, if you try to save your life from God, you will lose it. I did some research and I discovered you have a 100% chance of dying. One for one. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you are vegan, you're going. Now, if you're vegan, you're just going to go with a bad taste in your mouth. I'm going to go with some whipped cream and some donut powder on my nose. We're all going. I'm just going a lot happier than you are. God says it doesn't matter what you do, you can't save it. But whoever loses their life for me, can I just say it plain? Whoever's willing to take the risk that maybe God might mess it up. How arrogant is that, right? But let's just go there. Maybe God might do something in my life that I don't particularly like. The Bible says when you're willing to take that risk, that's when life begins. That's when you save it. Because God can always do more with your life than you can do with your life. But here's the word, commit. You have to commit your life to Him. Can we pray? Father God, we're so grateful. God, for the vision that you have for this church, God, but most importantly, the vision, God, that you have for our lives. God, that we would know you, that we would try, that we would find real freedom, that we wouldn't be stumbling through life, but we would discover why you made us and the impact, the difference that you've called us to make. God, do it in our lives.
Thanks again for tuning into this week's message. If you want to learn more about our church, check us out at destinyharvest.tv. Meet our leadership team, find a way to connect with our church, and partner with us through giving. You can also connect with us on social media by visiting our Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram pages. Tune in next week for another message from our pastor, Stephen Chandler.